Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Steve Rosenbloom.
We suck, so your self-quarantine doesn't have to.
Mark Grody.
I think there will be lasting derivatives of this once we get through it, and hopefully we will, with minimal damage, that people will be more aware, honestly, of washing their hands and
good thing.
And apparently wiping. Apparently wiping.
They suck, so you don't have to.
They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do. Now they don't have any problem getting it done.
Founding members of the WB Club.
Wake and bake. Come on.
Where's Toby?
So I'm practicing, you know, social distancing, and I have a few tips for everybody, you know. You know, no sharing pipes or joints, things like that.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote,
stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK. Good morning, welcome in. Saturday Suckage, Yo 1103. Steve Rosenbloom, Mark Grody here. Unbelievably, we have an NFL game in the books. We'll have a bunch more tomorrow. And your Bears football experience just got a lot different. Mark Grody, how are you this morning? Was it anything I said, Mark? Was it everything I said, Mark? Is there anything to indicate that Mark might be there?
Hello?
Hey!
Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Okay. Wow, I had such a strong start, and you were just talking over me. I thought I was on the radio.
And
now the energy and the genuine feel to that will never be back. But what I actually said, Steve, was in 1 hour from right now, we will be 24 hours away from the Bears and Lions kicking off at Ford Field in Detroit, Michigan for the first game of the year. Unfortunately for the Bears, David Blau will not be walking through that door and into the dome in Detroit. So it will be Matthew Stafford, who was brilliant last year up until the point at which he did not play, and I remember that day because we were furiously trying to gather information on whether or not the quarterback would play, and Stafford did not, and then we didn't see him twice last year. So it's a big day today, Stevie Sunshine. We got Bears. Our baseball teams are both still in first place, though the results were split. A Sox win, a Cubs loss. So there is so much to talk about. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing wonderfully well. I do have some, I think we have similar Cubs sunshine because we talked about it last week. We kind of anticipated what might happen with John Lester. We'll talk about that later. But right now I want to talk about here. Breaking news on your Bears experience tomorrow is great news for Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer, and our brother station WBBM 780 AM and 105.9 FM. Here's what just happened. Kenny Albert was supposed to leave the NHL bubble in Edmonton. He was supposed to fly to Detroit. He was supposed to do the game. Jonathan Vilma was going to be a new commentator and Shannon Spake on whatever passes for sideline duty. And The schmucks at Fox and the NFL said, no, here's our rule. You can't leave. You can't come from another country unless you quarantine for 2 weeks. Kenny Albert is coming from a country that just reported zero COVID deaths. Kenny Albert is coming from a country smarter than us in dealing with this virus. Kenny Albert can't call the game. Here, at that, as if that's not dumb enough by the schmucks at Fox and the NFL, here's what you will get if you dare to watch Bears-Lions on television tomorrow. They're flying in decrepit Dick Stockton from Arizona, one of the greatest of maskless COVID, and he will be flying into Detroit to mispronounce and misidentify Bears and Lions players tomorrow. All I can say is this. You'll give the mute button, hit the mute button once you hit the power button, and then turn on WBBM, AM, FM, and listen to Jeff and Tom. There's some way you can sync this. I don't know. That just broke. The New York Post was reporting it, and it's unbelievably stupid, but it's just so... It's so NFL in some ways, and certainly so Fox, very Fox, I must say.
So wait, do you guys think we're going to get more Kurt Fullers tomorrow?
Yep, you could. You might get Fuller Brush Salesman for all we know.
Yeah, you know that cornerback who's was an All-Pro cornerback, Pro
Bowler.
It's Kurt.
There are a lot of Fullers in the NFL. It's hard to keep them all straight. I mean, there are Fullers.
But how many of them were All-Pro cornerbacks?
I know. I'm trying way too hard to excuse his mistakes. But look,
Omar, you can't.
Yes. Let me tell you about the WBBM broadcast, of which I will be a part this year, despite what has gone on with the pandemic. Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer will be in Detroit. No watching it off a television screen for those guys. They are making the trip to Detroit, and they will be there, and they will be present. I will be part of the pregame show on WBBM, and I got some really fascinating interviews with David Montgomery and Cole Kmet. I learned things about both of those guys in my talks with them. And I'm always a little conflicted because the score, too, will have a brilliant pregame show starting at 9 o'clock. So kind of flip back and forth between the two. We are sisters. We are brothers, whatever you want to refer to us as. And then, because people have asked me this, actually nobody's asked me this, but I'll report it, I will still be doing sideline reporting for Bears home games. It will just occur from the front row of the seats behind the bench. I will not be near the play, well, relatively close to the players, just not elbow to elbow like I normally would be. So it is a different year for sure, but we are full force for the Bears broadcast on WBBM and right here on 670 The Score. How'd I do?
You did great, and I asked you that. I had this down. I was so stunned by the Fox, the schmucks at Fox and NFL making this decision regarding Kenny Albert, and like, you know, you can't come from a foreign country, even though the foreign country is a lot smarter than this country. So I was going to say that while the play-by-play, I was comparing that, and your sideline reporting, you can't say nobody's asked you that. I always ask you that. What do you know? What have you learned? And so now we know. So now for the home games, you will be, must be in the front row. You're kind of going to be Bob Uecker.
Right. And now when I have a question of one of the players or the coaches, I need some intel, I'll be yelling from the stands. I'll be like, hey!
just like a fan.
Akeem, how's your ankle? Are you okay? You know, and so that's going to be the situation. But, yeah, no, it's very cool that we will be allowed. We'll have our own little separate taped area, probably myself and some of the other sideline reporters, perhaps from the opposing team, obviously somebody from the national broadcast, and that's about it. So it's some pretty cool exclusive reporting that I will be privy to. And just like everything, we'll see how it goes. We'll see what challenges there are. We'll see what this opens up in terms of something different, but it is something I'm definitely looking forward to and really just happy to be able to. This is like the one year where you could use cliches in life. Just be happy to be there, because none of us really thought the day would come when football would occur. I was so doubtful so long ago, but now here we are.
I'm with you on that. I did think that every sport would start. I did not think any of them would finish. And here we are, the NBA and NHL are moving on up, and they've done a terrific job, and the bubble works. Baseball has been pretty remarkable. They've had two idiot teams, two or players on idiot teams, maybe more than that, but some of them just got lucky that it didn't happen the way it did for the Cardinals and the Marlins. And now the Giants, you know, the weekend against the Padres, a Giants player tested positive. And to see football get this close, they played a game, and I'm kind of waiting for the fallout from the Chiefs and the Texans. So this was a bunch of guys hitting each other, tackling each other, sweating all over each other, and just playing football in all its glory. What happens? And I don't know. The incubation period, we could find out in 5 days, 10 days. I don't know. But that's kind of holding your breath. But here we are. I never thought the NFL was going to... I thought it would start, and I thought it might take one game to cancel the season because it would just be like college football. All we've heard from college football is how greedy the schools are, how stupid the coaches and players are, and the parents are joining them in that. That's the way college football looks. So we're here. We're going to see football tomorrow, Mark. What kind of football are we going to see, Mark?
I have no idea. I mean, what does... Isn't that great that we could actually say, I don't know, and it's okay?
Know.
Right? And I think that people have respect for that, because how can anybody know what football is going to look like when the off-season for every team is truncated, first of all, and eventually maybe the NFL will always be without preseason games or completely minimized, as they will be minimized. But without them, it changes a lot. I mean, as horrible as preseason games can be, it is upon us, and it is alarming how different it feels without having had those games, without having had the tape, the tryouts for some guys at the bottom up of the roster, just to see one pass come out of the arm of Mitchell Trubisky, one catch made by Allen Robinson or whomever, that one guy that makes the run. Like, there's so much that I personally, as a reporter, missed about the preseason in gaining intelligence and trying to figure out what is what on these, not just the Bears, but the Detroit Lions and all of these teams, and just a rough draft of how the team may or may not look. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's pretty easy to predict the low-hanging fruit is that offenses will be behind the defenses, which puts the Bears in a probably a pretty good place week one. But if you really want to get into it, I'm not sure that matters when you have somebody as veteran as Matthew Stafford is, as good as Matthew Stafford is. Now, if Kenny Galladay is out, that is yet another game changer for the Bears, because they have struggled against him and that type of receiver, and he is a budding star in this league.
Well, it's going to get worse for Matthew Stafford. His line is banged up, and we will talk about that later on today. And we will discuss the Bears in several instances. At 11:20, we will talk with Jim Schwantz, part of the Mark Grody Orbit of the World, part of the WBBM pregame show, halftime show, postgame show, along with Jay Hilgenberg, former Super Bear, and the inevitable, unfortunate Ron Gleason. So Jim Schwantz will be here, and we'll run stuff by him. That'll be at 11:20. At noon, Aaron Lemming, he writes the Bear Report for CBS Sports, and in his Twitter bio it says, quote, destroyer of Lions Twitter. So that's always good. We'll find out about that. At 1 o'clock, we'll talk Cubs with Cubs Insider. Evan Altman writes Cubs Insider. He has been critical of David Ross. He's seen David Ross manage, and he wonders what David Ross is doing. So we can discuss that. As the Cubs gone from 13-3 to 13-17, they're in first place, and they're the worst first place team. And there's little reason for optimism. You have the pitching, and then you go, oh, wow. You mean you actually have to score runs in this league? So that's kind of our plan for today. We're going to take a break. It's Saturday Suckage. Oh, our phone number is the same as a text line number. The phone number that no one calls, but in case somebody calls, we have a breaking call sounder, 312-644-6767. That's also the number that you can text us. The text zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. So this is Saturday Suckage. We suck so you don't have to. But Fox and the NFL just stuck you. They just... They just expelled gas in your general direction, Bears fans, and they're flying in Dick Stockton from Arizona to make mistakes all over Bears-Lions Sunday. So you tune to the radio where you'll hear Mark Rohde and you'll hear Jim Schwantz, our next guest. And we'll talk Bears-Lions with Jim Schwantz of WBBM 780 AM 105.9 FM. We are Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Uptown got its hustlers, the Bowery got its bums, 42nd Street got Big Jim, a walker here, bull shooting son of a gun.
Sometimes you get the perfect walk-up music as chosen by the guests. We let them choose their own walk-up music. That music here on The Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670, was chosen by our next guest on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Joining us from the WBBM 780 AM 105.9 FM pregame, postgame, halftime show is Jim Schwantz. Jim, thanks for joining us. Happy football to you.
I can't wait, Rosie. I can't believe it's here. It's kind of a little funky. There's no doubt about it, but excited nonetheless. Excited to get this thing kicked off for sure.
You've kind of gone through this before, watching Bears. Mark was talking about it earlier, saying you kind of had storylines develop watching the preseason games. But the regular season, the first month of the regular season under Matt Nagy, was kind of used as a preseason for the players who mattered. And that's kind of where you are now. So what is going to be different from what we've seen before? Mark, we have no idea what to expect, no idea what kind of football. Do you have any idea what kind of football to expect, or what kind of football are you expecting?
You know, it's so I'm going to go back in the way back machine, back when training camps were training camps. And the first week in training camp, the first couple of weeks in training camp, remember the defense was always out in front. The defense was always outpacing the offense. The defense, it's reaction. The offense was learning plays. The offense was learning timing. The offense was learning this to play within a system and play together and, you know, getting reads, right? Quarterbacks, receivers, reads, and what are they seeing? Are they on the same page? Well, all that stuff, I just think defenses are going to be way in front of offenses. Of course, notwithstanding the Kansas City Chiefs who are on another world. But I think, you know, tomorrow's game is going to be, I anticipate, you know, a lower scoring kind of slogged out defensive battle, just because I don't believe the offenses are going to be there yet. So I'm looking for Chicago to lean on this defense. I think they're going to do that throughout the season, even when the offense catches up. I still think this is a defense-heavy team that's really going to have to win football games with their defense. And, you know, last year I flashed back to the London game, you know, over the pond, and you know, the Bears had an opportunity to close out the Raiders, and they had a defense on the field, and they couldn't do it. So that was disappointing to me. I look for that to be a bounce back this year. You know, obviously without Robert Quinn potentially not being able to play tomorrow, that's going to hurt. But I still think defense is going to have to carry the day.
Well, and now that you're saying that, Jim, it's got me thinking. It's good to talk to you as opposed to just being on a group email with Ron Gleason. So this is a wonderful moment. I feel like that is occurring right now. There's a lot going back and forth these days.
There's an absolute ton going on behind the scenes, as you know, Mark.
Yeah, yes, there is, and we're putting it all together for everybody. I promise you the product will be at a 10 tomorrow, especially when you hear Jim Schwantz on the pregame show with Hilgenberg and Ron Gleason. But anyway, as far as what you were saying about the offenses being sluggish and maybe look for an ugly game tomorrow, that made me think in my head that all the more reason to have Mitchell Trubisky be the quarterback at least tomorrow, and hopefully he grabs the job and keeps the job for 16 games. But as for tomorrow and early in the season, with his ability to probably improvise a little bit better than Nick Foles because of his legs, is that another good reason why Mitchell Trubisky is starting tomorrow?
I believe so, and Mark, I think you know if you really go back into the psyche of today's players, I just saw this from the very beginning as it was going to be Mitch named. I know they tried to make it look like it was some type of a competition and those types of things, but if the other had happened, had they come in and they had this pseudo competition and Nick Foles won the job, and then at some point you know you're going back to Mitch. Because Nick is not going to go 16 weeks without getting something happen to him, dinged, you know, week-long injury, two-week injury, something of that, or a half, you know, an injury that takes him out to the remainder of a game. What would Mitch's psyche be? And I'm not close enough to the players to know. You know, you hear everything he talks about. He's a team guy. He's a competitor. You know, he's an alpha. Of course, he's an alpha. He's been a quarterback since he was 12 years old. The quarterbacks are kind of trained to be that way, to be the alphas in the huddle, to be the alphas on the football team. And so he's got that demeanor, and it's an exterior thing, and it all sounds good. But I just worried had Nick Foles been named the guy, what would you be dealing with picking up those pieces? And so you know, you give it to Mitch, and it's Mitch's opportunity to run with it. And to your initial question, literally tomorrow, take the opportunity to win a couple of plays, a couple of those possession downs on third down with your legs, and then you know, get a couple 2-3 scores, and then see if Detroit has the firepower to be able to come back from that.
Talking with Jim Schwantz, WBBM, 780 AM, 105.9 FM, Bears station, our brother station. He will do be on the pregame and halftime and postgame with Jay Hilgenberg and the inevitable Ron Gleason. So in talking about Mitch Trubisky and his 106.3 passer rating against the Lions, we all know, Jim, and you've played for football coaches, they lie. All football coaches lie. They do it in different ways. You know, some are John Fox. They just play you for stupid and give you vague answers that don't address the question. Or some like Matt Nagy seem to answer them earnestly but aren't really answering them. So when Matt Nagy was asked whether Mitch Trubisky's wonderful history against the Lions factored into his being named starting quarterback mattered in that decision, when he said no, was Matt Nagy lying? Or if he was lying, I mean, if it factored in, he's lying, and if he didn't take that into consideration, is that bad coaching? Because you can only win the game in front of you.
Sure, and you know, if you want to take it in the macro and look at it from the high level, teams are different every year. There's always going to be different teams. I'll tell you a quick story to go to the opposite end of that point. The year I was in the Pro Bowl, we lost in the divisional playoff round to the upstart Carolina Panthers, and they beat us in the divisional round, and we were a really good football team. They ended up going up to Green Bay, and Green Bay beat them to go to the Super Bowl, and they won the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots. We're at the Pro Bowl, and I was talking to Brett Favre, and I said, you know, congratulations, you know, outstanding, you guys won this thing. He goes, well, I can tell you one thing, we were glad you guys didn't show up. And we say, well, what do you mean? I go, we would have been there. Deion Sanders had a concussion. Michael Irvin broke his collarbone. They weren't going to play in the game. And he goes, a high school team could have rolled up with stars on the side of their helmets and you guys would have beat us. That's the kind of mentality. You know, you see that team and you just, there's something about it. And so, you know, maybe that is what Mitch sees. He sees a team that he's had success with. You know, a lot of this is about building up to the game and the good feelings and the good vibes that go into it. But realistically, it, at the lowest level, this is a brand new football team. You know, the Bears are new this year, the Lions are new this year. The conditions will be obviously perfect in the dome, but I still think that each and every time you step on the field, it's going to be a little bit different. But certainly, in the big scope of it, Mitch has got a very good feel for this football team. He's got a very good feel. He's got good memories to go back on. But once the game starts, a lot of that stuff just goes away.
Are the Lions any good?
I don't believe so. No, I think they've gotten better. I like the core of what they have. They still got a guy that can sling it all over the field. They're still not figured out at the running back position. They've been a little bit of a mess on the offensive line for years now. I love their tight end, Hockenson. I think he's a really good player. I love Kenny Galladay. Galladay, I think he loves playing against the Bears. You want to go back to Rosie's point about teams and feel good for individuals. He's done pretty well against the Chicago Bears over his history. And defensively, Matt Patricia is a defensive guy, so you think they would get that thing figured out a little bit faster than they have. I think they're going to be formidable defensively. I think tomorrow, as far as what they do with any successes they have, I fear might have to do with the fact that the Bears aren't quite there yet offensively. But I believe this is a fourth place team in a 4-team division.
Let me follow it up, if I may, really quick here, Stevie Sunshine. I'm sorry, buddy.
Sure.
I don't usually.
No, you go right ahead.
Yeah,
go right
ahead. This is sometimes this is what happens when we can't see each other. But anyway, I want to follow up on that with one guy on the Lions defense, the rookie cornerback Jeff Okuda out of Ohio State, who may or may not play, but if he plays, he probably will start. You have Jalen Johnson starting as a rookie at cornerback for the Bears. How hard is that position right away for guys in the NFL? Is this a safe plan for these teams to be having cornerbacks starting on day one of their rookie years?
When you're playing against guys like Marvin Jones Jr., if you're Jalen, and then of course Allen Robinson, if you're Jeff Okuda, you're playing against some really good football players, guys who are top of their game, know all the little tricks and the things that go into being a high level wide receiver. And then if you're looking at Marvin Jones, he's got the rapport with a Matt Stafford. So I think it's a position. I think running back is kind of the equivalent on offense that true athletes can come in and play and compete and give you an opportunity to be successful. I don't believe they're going to put either one of those guys on an island. I think both defensive coordinators are going to find ways to, protect them a little bit. Maybe you see, with Jalen, maybe he's got Eddie over the top of him over the whole day, something like that, where at least you've got some protection. But I think those are two positions that if you are truly athletic and have had enough coaching throughout this pseudo training camp that I think you can compete. I don't know that you want to put a rookie out on Jerry Rice or a rookie out on Michael Irvin, because those are predators. Those guys, they'll want the football 45 times in a game because they want to be able to put a rookie in their place. But I think today, in today's NFL, if you're athletic and you can go out there and compete, I think also you look at the game Thursday night. I don't have this on authority. I'm just as a fan watching it. I think New York has said keep the hankies in your pockets. We got to put together a pretty decent product, and nobody wants to see 25 flags being thrown. So maybe there's a little bit more opportunity for defensive backs to get a little bit more aggressive. Maybe that 5-yard no contact zone becomes 7 or 8. Maybe they allow a little bit more of that, just so that we're not watching the officials become the center of the story.
So you're telling Jalen Johnson to bring a lightsaber to a knife fight, so you can get a little you can get away with a little bit more.
It's like early in a basketball game, Rosie. You bang around a little bit, you find out what the officials are willing to allow to go on without a flag, and then you settle that after the first quarter, and then you go play. I thought that game Thursday night, it was just 3 or 4 times you've got the commentator saying, "Man, there's been no flags," and And it was a very smooth, congruent game that you were watching, and you weren't like every third play there's a defensive holding on a 3rd and 26. You know, that you're like, holy crap, that's a defensive holding on the other side of the ball that's going to give them a first down, and it's frustrating. But you didn't see a lot of that, with the exception of the little grab and hold down on the goal line when there was a pick by Houston. But other than that, there was a false start that had to be a second of a guy moving before the ball was snapped, and they didn't throw a flag on it.
One of the things we do on our version of the Saturday Suckage pregame show is try to find reasons why it would be a happy Bears Sunday. And at the risk of in running this down, Jim, this sounds like it screams for a mercy rule and running clock in the second half. You talked about the injured offensive line for the Lions in front of Matthew Stafford. There's a reason he's going to be injured again. You have Khalil Mack going up against now Terrell Crosby, who is a fifth-round pick in 2018 and will be making just his eighth career start. And on top of that, Akeem Hicks, we assume he's going to be healthy, he's going to be Akeem Hicks, all capital letters again, will be lining up against somebody named Jonah Jackson, who will be making his first career start. Yeah. And we think both Jalen Johnson and Mitch Trubisky will benefit by those two matchups.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's no doubt about you could rewind to 2014 pregame against the Lions, and we were talking about how poor their offensive line was. 2016, this is a theme. You've invested a ton of money into just an absolute warrior. I mean, like or dislike the Detroit Lions, Matt Stafford is a guy that you absolutely cheer for throughout the NFL, and he's a guy that don't want him to play really well against the Bears, but he is one of those stand up true veterans that just goes out and competes day in and day out. They have no running game. I mean, Kerryon Johnson, I think, he can't stay healthy. I thought he looked pretty decent. You get Adrian Peterson, and then they draft a kid, DeAndre Swift. So they've got kind of by committee, but they've never committed to the running game. It's just going to be a matter of trying to get rid of the football quick. They've got weapons. They got guys that can catch the football, but they got to have time to get open. So, yes, and absolutely, a pass rush is a guy like Jalen Johnson's best friend. He doesn't have to cover for more than a few seconds. And he does have to worry about a lot of the double moves, a lot of the extended routes. He can certainly sit on things. And, again, if they give him a little bit of help over the top, he can be really aggressive at the line of scrimmage. And that's truly what these young players, they want to be able to do. They don't want to have to think a lot. They don't want to have to look at route progressions. They want to be able to step up and get physical. And hopefully the officials allow some of that to go. And, then the Bears should be walking out with a pretty solid game. But it's going to be – special teams are going to be good. I think, Cordarrelle Patterson is a guy we obviously know what he's all about. I think he has an opportunity tomorrow to get loose once or twice. And then hopefully this is a good first preseason game, as you mentioned early in this segment here, Rosie. This is the first preseason game for the Bears, and hopefully they come away with a win and get out of the first 4 weeks, at worst 2-2 and hopefully better than that.
Amen, man. Let me go deep cut on you here, Jim Schwantz. There are two guys in the inside linebackers room, and this is right up your alley too, and Josh Woods and Joel Iebunewe, who will be special teams contributors. But one thing the Bears had a lot of last year, as it turned out, with Kevin Pierre-Lewis and Nick Kwiatkowski, was excellent linebacker depth. We know how good Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan are, but would these guys, from your eyes, Josh Woods and Joel Iebunewe, be able to step in and fill in the way those guys did last year if there is to be, God forbid, an injury?
I do believe so. I thought, Josh played a little bit of linebacker last year. He did obviously made his more of his mark as well as Joel on special teams, as you mentioned, Mark. But I don't believe, you're looking at a position where there's a huge step backwards. I mean, these guys they're veterans. They've been in that room. They've been in this system for a while now. So they have a little bit of knowledge with regards to that. And I thought what they asked, the backups to do last year, Nick, his signature plays were blitzes. Signature plays where he came, ran over Dalvin Cook and got a sack, and those were plays. But when he was out, kind of in space, he was he wasn't as flashy as he was on his opportunities to just come forward and run somebody over. So if you give those guys that same type of opportunity, the same kind of blueprint, I think you could have guys like that definitely be successful. But I thought that the defensively the Bears did a nice job when they did lose Danny to try to give guys like Nick Kwiatkowski an opportunity to truly be successful, not just sit back and be something that they're really not, and be able to be aggressive and coming forward. Which, if you've ever talked to a linebacker, that's all we'd rather do is come forward, not go backwards.
Well, we hope everybody's going forward tomorrow. We hope the Bears defense scores, because I have questions that the Bears offense is ever going to score. We thank you for coming on, Jim, and we look forward to talking to you throughout the season. It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
I appreciate it, guys. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. That's Jim Schwantz, Mayor of Palatine, and the part of the WBBM 780 AM 105.9 FM. Pre-game show, post-game show, halftime show with Jay Hilgenberg and the inevitable Ron Gleason, and now Mark Grody. Mark, you're like a Schwantz teammate in various ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, unlike the last 2 years that I was part of the pregame show, I will not get to see Jim Schwantz in person, nor Jay Hilgenberg. And that was always a big, happy part of my Sundays, to see all the shining faces
on Mark.
The WBBM side. Hi, of the world. But we're still going to put it together. And, as somebody said on the text line from the 224, this Schwantz dude is good. Mm-hmm. I think Jim Schwantz is really good. And actually, I hate the term underrated, but I think Jim Schwantz is underrated because he doesn't insist upon himself. You know what I mean? He doesn't throw himself out there. He's just good. When they ask him a question, he's just good. He breaks it down, and it's like in-depth and honest.
Right. He's terrific.
Go Bears!
Yes. All right. Bears. So we're gonna take a break. We will talk more football at the top of the hour with Aaron Lemming, who writes Bear Report for CBS Sports. After a break, we will come back, and we need to deal with the Cubs a little bit. They need to be dealt with. There is some good news amid the crap that is their offense, so we'll talk about that. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. We are Saturday Suckage, and Cubs offense is perfect for Saturday Suckage. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Jeffress ready to work. The set for the 1-1 to Braun. And here it comes. A swing and a fly ball. This is going to end the ball game. Deep right center. It'll be caught by Hayward. Tagging and scoring is Christian Yelich with the only run of the game. And Milwaukee wins it by a score of 1-0. Ryan Braun delivering a sacrifice fly.
That's Pat Hughes with a low light, courtesy of us, The Score. Cubs lose to the Brewers 1-0. They don't score. They strike out. They strike out 16 times. They had two hits. They score no runs. They lose 1-0. They just suck on offense. They started the season 13-3. They've gone 13-17 since. This is Saturday Suckage beyond Suckage. They are still in first place. They have a 3-game lead over the Los Cardinals. They're the worst first-place team in the majors, so that's very Cub-like. Outside of Wilson Contreras, we got this text here on the text zone brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. So, Mark Grody, the text says, not enough criticism of Jed and Theo not finding a way to keep Castellanos. But here's the deal. If Bryant and Baez suck the way they do, if they're hurt and bad or both, and if Rizzo is stinking it up and Contreras had been stinking it up till now, Castellanos has no effect. He won't make you win. Your big guys have to be your big guys. They're not hitting. Any idea why, Mark? Any idea? Can you pass it along? Can you save them? Can you solve them?
I don't know if I can solve them. There's something that has happened to the Cubs offense, it seems like, in each of the last 3 years, where it has this decrescendo from the beginning of the season, where there's all this adrenaline and the offense is coming out, and then it just goes downhill for some reason. And I don't know what it is the product of. Now, to the criticism of Theo and Judd. I will say this. I disagree a little bit. If Nick Castellanos was here, he probably would change things a little bit in terms of how he affects where he's hitting in the order and how that might affect what is going on with the other hitters. I think that there would have been some effect. However, I do give – I actually give – Jed and Theo a pass for this year. And that's because if things had been different, if they had had things their way, this team probably would have looked a little bit differently. That Chris Brown may not have even been on this roster. Mm-hmm. That Wilson Contreras may have been traded. That Kyle Schwarber may have been DHing for some other team. And I still think that that is going to happen probably in this offseason. So I think that this was a season where Jed and Theo said, okay, last call. Here it is. And now we're seeing it, and Theo was even critical in his comments before the game the other day about this team not playing particularly well right now. And I think honestly, this is not, you know, in a literal sense, but they're kind of sitting back and saying, okay, we have done all we can do. We are powerless at this point. Go get them. Show us what you can do, because we're breaking this thing up after this season is over.
Well, I don't think the Castellanos thing is anything to consider. Your two best outfielders are Ian Happ and Jason Hayward, and Kyle Schwarber has been doing fine. So you have your OPS plus leaders are Happ at 161 and Hayward at 142. You have and Contreras at 109 and then Schwarber at 97, and Jason Kipnis is in there marvelously so at 128. So the guys that should be better are not. You know, Javi Baez is at 56. That's half as good as your major league average. He's just been miserable. So the Castellanos thing doesn't matter. Your outfield is good, and he's got no place to play. And I agree that I would withhold blame in a lot of areas of Theo and Jed, because the players have to play. It's on them. They have to stay healthy. They have to play. They have to produce. That's what it's all about right now. And they talked about it. They talked about it being their last dance. And so apparently that worked for 16 games. They were 13-3, and then they've just sucked since. When I start with the players and I look at them and go, wow, you guys have really been failing. The offense has been failing. So I will withhold criticism of Theo and Jed at that point. The players had the control, right? They go up there and they bat.
Yeah.
Go up there and look like you're a professional hitter.
There's no doubt about that. I don't know if blame's the right word, but I do think that the manager and the hitting coach are responsible for some of that. Let's just stick with the manager, David Ross, because everybody says, well, David Ross can't go out there and hit. He can't go out there and pitch. But he can change things up. He can put the job of a manager is to put players in the best position to win. Now, last night, David Ross did a good thing by holding Javier Baez out of the lineup and putting Nico Horner over at shortstop, who has been playing relatively well lately. He's had a really good game the other day, did Nico Horner. So sometimes it is on the manager to change the lineup, to have an odd guy like Joe Maddon would always do. And David Ross has done some of that. When a guy's slumping, throw Kyle Schwarber up at the top of the order, or who never do things differently, sit guys, change the configuration, do something fun. So there is some of this is on the manager. I never liked the notion of or that cliche of, well, he can't go out there and hit, he can't go out there and pitch. Well, then what the hell's the use of the manager anyway? The manager is responsible for putting guys in position to win. And if we're going to give David Ross all the credit in the world for all the enthusiasm and a 13-3 start that the Cubs had and changing the culture and doing things that hadn't been done in 5 years, then there has to be a little bit of criticism, you know, thrown his way right now for the lack of offense. And then to Iapochi as well, the hitting coach.
We will take a look at the blame that David Ross deserves, as handed out by Evan Altman of Cubs Insider. We'll talk with him in an hour, but now after we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get back to the Bears. We will talk with Aaron Lemming, writes the Bear Report for CBS Sports. And again, his Twitter bio describes him as destroyer of Lions Twitter, which is always good. That's what rivalry games should be about. So we will talk Bears and your Bears viewing
Bears
experience just changed thanks to the schmucks at Fox and the NFL. We'll talk about that. But we'll talk to see how long you can manage to stay on the Bears game and if this is just more Mitchapalooza because it's the one team he can beat. And we'll
You're going heavy on schmuck today, I've noticed. You tweeted
it's such a schmuck. It's a good word. A lot of words with CK make you feel good. It's a therapeutic word. And it's very okay. And it's very accurate and descriptive. I'm not making this up. When you say
you're right, and it's safe. It's safe too.
Right. It's an idiot. It's just a different it's a Yiddish word for idiot. And when you talk about the NFL and Fox, here's where it is. The NFL and Fox are prohibiting Kenny Albert coming in from Edmonton, where he's been calling the Stanley Cup playoffs, to Detroit. They're banning him from coming from a foreign country without quarantining, so he cannot call the game. And they're flying in Dick Stockton to misidentify players and just make your whole experience miserable. They're flying him from Arizona. It's bad enough that Arizona has one of the worst COVID rates in the United States. But the fact that they won't let Kenny Albert into the United States from Canada, which reported zero deaths yesterday from
COVID-19.
What
you're saying here doesn't really make sense, but I know what you're saying.
Okay.
Take a break, will you?
This hurts my head. We'll talk to Aaron Lemming. Talk Bears Lions next. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.